Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life.
Praise God. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. On this April 5th, we are rejoicing in the God of our Savior. We are rejoicing in the work of the cross and the love of God that sent Jesus Christ to shed his blood for us. And then the Lord's creative power that he released into us. And his word, it says, we who guard his mouth keep his life. That's Proverbs 13:3. Then James 3:6 says this about the tongue. We are talking about the creative power of the tongue based on the word of God and the mysteries that he is releasing to us that he needs for our spirits to embrace so we would understand the creative power that has been given to us. Now, James 3 and 6 says this about the tongue. And we all know it. We've all heard it. It is set on fire of hell. It is full of death, carrying venom. That's a strong statement as it relates to the power of the tongue. It can kill you, or it can release the life of God within you. It is God's desire that we have an understanding of the creative power of his holy word. We love this book, The Tongue, A Creative Force, because it takes scripture after scripture and releases to us some truths that we know. We've heard before. We have a very familiar, if nothing new. But what he's doing is trying to open up a window into the words that we have been reading and reciting. It says, thou art snared by the words of thy mouth. Proverbs 6 and 4. Faith-filled words will put you over, and fear-filled words will defeat you. And the reason of that is because of God's natural law. He said, and when he created earth, he said, and let it all reproduce its own kind. And so he gives the things that were released in the earth realm a spiritual law they have to follow. It is not a theory. It is a fact. It is a spiritual law. It works every time it is applied correctly. God never does anything without saying it first. He is a faith God. He released his faith in words. And Jesus answered with, said unto them, have faith in God. Mark 11 and 22. And we know that, and we say that, and we tell people to do that. You know, to be more literal translation of that scripture would be have the God kind of faith, not just faith in God, but have a faith of God. So to realize he gave us what we have. He created us in his image, and he's the being that we're not. It was the word that was with God, and the word was God. And then when we speak forth, we are releasing God in the earth realm, that faith of God. We can't just say it. We have to have it in our heart from an understanding that we can do those creative things that God intended for us to do. And the words that we speak will give life and birth to something that did not exist, because that's what he did. He spoke it, and then it came into being because of his faith. By faith, he had believed on me, and the work that I do shall he do also and greater. John 14 and 12. These principles of faith are based on the spiritual laws. They work for whoever will apply these laws. It is not sometimes, it is a law, and it cannot be. He set them in motion by the words of, you set things in motion by the words of your mouth. That's the way you are saved, by confessing with your mouth Jesus as the Lord and believing in your heart, okay, unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So that which wasn't becomes because you spoke it and you believed it, and it created a situation and an environment for you to be born again and no longer subject to the things of this world I would say no longer subject to the things of this world because we're in Christ. We are in Christ. Faith-filled words released out our mouth defeat Satan and create reality of God's word in our spirit. Speaking God's word after him causes us to become new creators and that never existed before. I enjoyed the way he put that in there, that never existed before. So when we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe it and we said it, then it created in us, we became a new creature, something that never existed before. Our tongue spoke into being us as creative force of God because we believed with the faith of God of what we were saying. Now, we don't believe it, then that's another concern because what are we saying with our mouth? Are we believing God? Are we just repeating something we heard or we saying what we think we ought? And I love it when the author says the fact that sometimes you don't feel that way. But if you believe and you speak it, you have whatever you say. You must believe that those things which you are saying will come to pass. And we all live as Christians believing that our salvation is sure and that we have aligned ourselves with the kingdom of heaven. And so as a result, do you really want all the negative things you have been confessing to come to pass? Are you believing for those things? Because when we speak, whatever we speak, we must believe that these things that we say are going to come to pass. Whether they're good or bad, they're going to come to pass because of the law of God, the natural law of God, that things will create after its own kind. This law is working for or against us every day. If Jesus came to you personally and said, from this day forward, it will come to pass that everything you say will happen exactly as you say it, would that change your vocabulary? That was a powerful statement for me. That's a statement to stop and to meditate on that. Because if we believe to unto salvation, that confession is made unto salvation, then we have to understand that law doesn't change when it goes from one subject to another, because the spiritual law is true no matter what. It covers all of God's creation. And so as a result, we have to understand the seeds we plant with the words of our mouth are going to produce after their kind. You know, he says a tree is known by its fruit. It cannot, a good tree can't put bring forth bad fruit, I think the scripture says at one place, and that's because the Lord is sharing with us. It is a part of his spiritual law that things create after their own kind. So it's up to us. What are we going to say with our mouth? The scripture, Matthew 16 and 19, Jesus said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever thou shalt bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And Psalms 119 and 89 tells us, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What God says is already, you know, so we are just manifesting it on in the earth realm. Now, it is up to us. What are we going to say about it? And what is the it? Anything. Whatever it is, we're going to bind it in earth or we're going to lose it. So we're going to have to understand the power of the creative power that works in our tongue. And it works to establish on the earth realm, whether that is for God or back then before the end. The Lord will not alter what he has said. He says in Psalms 89 and 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth. And I love it. Well, you know that God says that he's not, he doesn't change, and that he's not, he doesn't vary from one subject to another. We want him to vary from one subject to another. So it's okay if I confess that I'm saved, but if I say something else, well, that won't mean nothing. Everything means something. Those words will we, so whose words will we establish on earth? Understanding that the power of binding and loosing is it on earth. It is not in heaven. The power for binding and loosing is on earth. It is not in heaven. According to Matthew 16 and 19, you are the ones doing the binding. And God said all heaven will stand behind what you say. Look at that. It will stand behind what you say. Now, God's not going to stand behind that which is of the devil. He's going to stand behind that which is of the kingdom of God. Many Christians have bound their finances and loosed the enemy by the words of their mouth. They have bound their spiritual growth by confessing the enemy's ability to hinder them. They have more faith in the enemy to defeat them than they have in God to put them over. And there is no scripture basis for that kind of belief, nor shall we say unbelief. So what is sharing with us that when we bind, when we speak a thing that we have in times past, because we didn't know, but now we know, and all we have to do is to repent. And in times past, those things, when you look back on them, you know, it was what was I creating? What force was I creating around myself with the words that were coming out of my mouth? Because remember, the words that come out create. They have to create after themselves. So were we creating a positive, God-fearing environment and a kingdom principle, or were we giving props to the enemy because we were at one point, the author says the fact that the Lord told him that his God's people were actually, he told them, you can ask what you will, and he will give it to us. And I was kind of he said, his people can't, he said, he told us that we can have what we say. And then we are saying what we have. So instead of asking that which we can't see, we are declaring that which we do see and don't want, but we are establishing it because we say it. When he says to us that every word that comes out of our mouth, it has the ability to change the environment. God's word always works, but the same law can work for or against us, depending on how we apply it. Many people will start confessing that they will not have enough money to make payments on their house in 3 months. We're just not going to have enough. How are we going to do that? They're confessing lack. You're speaking out of your mouth lack. And you can say, well, that's all I can see. Well, we speak that, not which we see, but we profess what we believe. Do you believe the word of God that says the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not lack for anything? And in believing that, in saying that, in confessing that, those words that you say out of your mouth have to produce after their time. So they're going to have to produce the fact that you don't have a lack of any. But when we say one thing, but we profess another, are we negating the things that we're praying for. Or, see, I told you I can't make that payment, you know, and so when it happens, you know, we are, oh, woe is me, and yet we need to open our eyes and see we leased that thing 3 months ago when we spoke it out of our mouth. And because we spoke it out of our mouth and our mouth has created power because we're made in the image of God, then what we say created an environment around us, and that was an environment for an environment that was not of God, was not of the kingdom. It was not an environment of prosperity. It was not an environment of faith and the ability to understand that whatever we say, we can have. And a lot of people, it is not that mentality of, you know, claim it and name it. It's believing it, speaking it, that which you don't see as though it is. And when we understand, we say these things. And the author even shared how you may look at some people that are wicked, evil people, and yet they continue to prosper and prosper and prosper. And that's because they don't say out of their mouth, I'm wicked and I'm evil, and so what I do is not going to be good. No, they declare and they believe even the wrong that they do is going to bring about a certain desire that they have. And because they speak it, those words have power, and it creates it in their environment, in their earth realm. And yet we are so often, I'm going to say, sad mouth, you know, and so what we produce is a sad environment when it should be an environment of joy, rejoicing, and a newness from the power that God has given us. And so the author confesses victory in the face of abundance, in the face of apparent lack, and how that will confuse the enemy, because the enemy won't see it and will wonder. That's why we say God's people are peculiar people. They're walking around here talking about, you know, they got victory and he on the cross, and they done beat him all day and all night long, and yet they keep saying they have victory. That's because we profess the abundance in the face of lack, and we profess victory in the face of apparent defeat. And so when we declare it, those words will produce it, because that gives heaven, says the heaven has your back, and all the resources of heaven will bring it about, because it was established in heaven. It says through our words, because God gave us that creative force. It was on change our life as we receive an understanding of this truth. The word of God came, will come to us as we go forth in the statements of faith. We have a question that we ask often people in the process of, you know, you want a statement of faith. And so many people will say, well, you know, what do you mean? You know, and we share, what do you believe? And so they go to I'll say that phrase, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was born of a virgin. So they say they believe these things. And so it is a point of where our salvation begins. Iceberg. Our belief has to go into the below the surface of being in Christ and believing that in him all things are possible. Now, we say it all the time, but do we believe that? You know, do we confess it and believe it, or do we say it and then say, but I can't? So we've just negated the creative force that would establish heaven on earth, and we have created words that are going to hold things that are negative towards us and create an environment that is one of defeat. So we want to understand that God's word always works, but the same law can work for or against you, depending on how you apply it. There were so many paths in this ninth chapter passages that I just kind of highlighted everything, you know, and so I'm just going to read this particular one. Every faith principle, every spiritual law that God set forth in his word was for our benefit. It was designed to put us over in life. It was not designed to hold us back or put us in bondage. But just as Satan has perverted nature to cause storms, floods, and destruction, so has he perverted the law of God, God's word, in the minds and hearts of God's people to the point where it looks as though God is the author of poverty, sickness, and the problems in life. So many people will say, well, if God is God, why is there so much sickness? Why is there so much poverty? Why, you know, are there so much problems in life? And that's because we have not declared who he is properly with our actions and our reaction to life circumstances and situations, and not shown how no matter what state we are in, we are content. Content with being peacefully settled in our spirit, where joy and hope and love is not hampered by our situations and circumstances. And when we declare that, then our peace, our joy, and our love will not be hampered by the apparent circumstances that are around us. And that's how people will know the kind of God we serve. And they will then get an understanding of a proper sense of who God is, not the author of poverty, sickness, and the problems of life, but rather the author of peace and love and truth and joy. The truth is, in so many cases, the deception of Satan has caused an incorrect application of certain spiritual laws that defeat so many in the game of life or in our life journey, in our Christian walk. We defeat ourselves with the words that we speak because we speak what we see and not what we don't see but believe. And I believe that's because we don't believe and we don't understand. We don't really believe. We haven't gotten to that point. We understand that Jesus rose from the grave and that he is the Son of God and that he died for our sins to be forgiven. We believe that. And if we believe every word in the book the way we believe that spiritual fact, then we would be walking in such power and victory, and we would be creating in the earth realm those things. We would keep heaven so busy. Okay, heaven would just be so busy having our back because we would be constantly decreeing and declaring and establishing and releasing the force of heaven on earth. God's word always works, always works. But that law can work for or against us depending on how we apply it, which is why the enemy doesn't want us to study, which is why the enemy doesn't want us to be in the word of God, why the enemy will make things satisfied with hearing it on Sunday, getting it from the teacher or the preacher and feeling that's their responsibility and not diving and delving into the word of God throughout the week for every situation and circumstances. How many times have we heard people say, you know, they believe, but it's not that deep, you know, but it is that deep. And the enemy wants us to think that it isn't so that we won't start to understand the words that we release will truly defeat him. Faith is a seed. And in Luke 17:5-6, it says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase your faith. And the Lord said, the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. We find in the above scripture that Jesus spoke of a seed that was so full of faith that it would speak. I repeat that. A seed word that was so full of faith that it would speak. It would create a force that would move that his apostles had asked him to give them more faith. Jesus didn't indicate they needed more faith. In so many words, what he said is, you don't need more faith. You need to sow the seed of faith that you already have within you. And that seed is such a tiny seed. But I will take that tiny seed and I will move the earth with it. I'll move the tree with it. I'll move situations and circumstances with it, that when you look at it, it won't appear that it's doing it. But because you believe it, heaven will back your belief and that tree will be moved. Faith is a seed. Number two, the way you plant a seed of faith is to say it. You must speak it. When God created, and the author shared before God did anything, he spoke it. I love it when he said before he will do anything, he'll release it to the prophet. That means he'll speak it out of his mouth through the prophet. And speaking it is what we always think faith works, but faith talks. And when faith talks, it talks of fear. When faith talks, not of fear or unbelief, but it speaks of itself because it has to create after its own time. God told two great secrets in verse 6. Number one, faith is a seed. And number two, the way you plant a seed is to say it. Jesus said your faith would speak to the object. Your faith will speak to the object, situation, the tree, the circumstances, and it would obey you. The tree, the situation, and the circumstance. It will obey you. And again, we go back to the beginning where God said, let us create man in our own image. And so those things that we are, he is, we can be as we walk in him and confess, believe in what he has done. And so when we do that and when we say that, even nature, even objects, even situations, just like with everything, when Christ was here, he spoke to the sea and it obeyed. He spoke to the wind and it obeyed. He spoke to sickness and it obeyed. He spoke to demons and it obeyed. All these things, he spoke to the natural when he multiplied the fish and it obeyed. When we speak it in faith, heaven will produce it on earth. That's how we produce on earth those things of heaven, and that's how we bind those things on earth that are not of heaven. And when they bind, when God binds it, it is bound. Jesus said our faith was to the object and it should obey you. In other words, the object would be obedient to our words. And let's bring this into focus. Its poverty should obey you. You put a name at the end. It shall obey you. The object. Poverty shall obey you. I remember there was a point of time, and I didn't understand this personally, when I was coming to Chicago, and I had a concern, and the way God met my concerns is what he kind of walked me through scripture of the promises that he had given. And so when I got to a certain one of a natural concern, that's all I could see, a woman going to another city and, not having a job and all of that stuff, definitely not being rich, and what he said was it was the 2 Corinthians, you think I would memorize the address, he said, but you will have all sufficiency in all things unto every good work. And I just started saying that, he started showing me what the all was. had to start replacing that all things, everything, and all the words in that scripture were consuming words that engulfed me completely. And then that's when, you know, even at that point, I didn't understand, but being a new creature, all things, we say all things have passed away, but I've never existed before on that level. I never opened my mouth to that level. But once I started saying it, and then gave me an understanding that, you know, like, okay, you know, God will tell you, you know, you're going to be blessed better than blessed. And then, you know, you go, well, how is that? How you go, okay, let me make this clear to you. Okay. You see, anytime you reach your hand into your purse for money, you will have it. I said, well, no, okay. You know, now that's something you can get with. That's certainly something that will calm your fears. But not if you don't believe. You have to believe, you know, like, oh, you know, that can't be true. How can that be if I didn't put any money in there? Da, 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 da. I couldn't go there. And God wouldn't let my tongue go there because he did not want me to release something contrary to my destiny. And so by saying it and believing it, not seeing it, definitely not with my eyes, but with my tongue, it created that environment that has followed my life since I've been in this city. And I'm just amazed at the things that I have been given, and I've been given those things. And oftentimes, you know, people look for prosperity and, you know, how much money you make and, you know, what you own and all that stuff like that. But when you really start to evaluate the things that have surrounded you that we normally think can only surround a person that is, I'll just say, wealthy and well-to-do, then you can understand the power, the creative power of the words that come out of our mouth because heaven backs us. And there is nothing he said. All things are possible, period. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, you shall not want. That's what he has said. And so to say it, whether you feel it or not, but to say it because you believe it, because it's in his word, and you believe his word, and we can't believe one part of the word and not believe another without stopping and questioning that and that understanding that that may be that you don't believe that other part either. And so that becomes a reality that we have to understand that the enemy will deceive us into believing just so he could get a stronghold into our, not our minds, but in our souls. And so we say we believe with our mouth, but the Lord said, but your heart is far from me. We've been deceived, and we don't want to be deceived. We don't ever want to be deceived and pick and choose the word of God that we want to believe and establish. But we must understand that our faith is the voice of authority that has been given to us by God. He said he gave to everybody a measure of faith. So we have a faith that's been given to us by God, and trust me, if he gave it to us, that's all we need. That is all we need. For the word says he would not withhold any good thing from us. Amen. These things know the voice of authority, our faith word. Your faith is your voice of authority. Be careful what you authorize things to do. I can think of so many times a parent will say, you know, in a negative way, you just like your daddy. You've established, you have faith in the fact of the words just came out of your mouth, and those words have authority and will make that young man just like his daddy. Okay, unless you release another word that calls it back, reverses it, restores its assignment on that individual, and bring life to that child. That's why it's so important, the mindset and the heart mindset of parents so that they understand the destiny of their children. They see beyond the world standard. You know, I got a bad kid, or I got a smart kid, or I got a slow kid, or whatever. But rather, the fact that they have a child given to them by God with a destiny that God has honored, and it is their responsibility to nurture that destiny, to defend any enemy that would come up against it, and be that buffer for that child against the world until spiritually they're able to walk in their own faith. I think that's probably why in the Jewish family, at a certain age, they have a bar mitzvah, because up until that time, the parents are doing the interceding for that young man. But at that point, he is expected to come into the knowledge of God on his own, which is why they require them to memorize so much scripture. I mean, sometimes chapters and chapters, because they understand it's that power of them having that word in them that will grant them the authority in and over their life. And so a lot of people always say how the Jewish people are, you know, they're lawyers, they're doctors, you know, and that they have money. It is part of the, what do they call it, character trait of the Jewish people. And so when you hear, you know, Yagovitz or whatever, whatever, you know, you that's the kind of thinking we have. And that's because they were taught. They were taught to value their words and to say and surround them that will produce prosperity. They are chosen. And they believe that and they say that and they're taught that, you know, in their upbringing, their children. It is, you know, when they go out and when they come in and on the doorpost. I mean, but they really do. That's what they have, all those holy days that always bring into the light of the family their dependence on God. And by these words, they have been justified in the earth realm, and heaven has gotten behind their words of faith and brought them that prosperity that they have declared. You know, whereas I think of as another nation, as a nation of black people, we've declared, oh, war is us. That's what we say. Because man did this and they did that and took me from Africa, you know, da 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 da. You know, but we are declaring, we are actually, we're condemning any hope for, because even if we say we look to God, we then lean on the negative word, and so we kind of negate the positive with the knowledge and rehearsing the past. Not really rehearsing, but releasing those things from the past over our life. And by doing that, we just further submit to the enemy for our defeat. And so, and it's not everybody, but that's part of the mentality we have, even when we look at things and the news and stuff like that. And I know my heart sinks when you hear something that's horrible, and then you kind of hold your breath and hope they weren't black. And that's just the truth. And just hope they weren't black. And it's like, why? Because we expect it to be black. And we want to hope that it isn't. But we have to live life not expecting it to be black, but just expecting it to be the evil that's been released in the world, no matter who it is, you know, but that's a different perspective, you know. So the perspective, especially as saints, that when we release it, it negates all of the marching and the prayer and all of that, because in our hearts we don't believe. You know, in our hearts we are discouraged by it. And so we have to, that discouragement, not allow it to happen. I've been seeing all of these marches and organizations come together trying to, you know, come up with answers to the violence and stuff like that. They're looking for answers. And answers aren't the thing they need to look for. They need to focus on God. And we may say, well, you know, the world's not going to. Then we need to understand the condition the world is going to be in. But it needs to be our focus of focusing on God. So we do see him on TV, holding hands, praying to God, you know, walking the streets, making sacrifices. But what you see generally is a handful of people, just a handful of people, which means in a community, there are literally hundreds of people in a community, but you can see where they're not together on one of, and so the few that are have to battle the hundreds that are not. And as a result, we can battle with victory, but we can't go into a battle feeling defeated. We can feel hope, but we can't feel defeated. And sometimes it allows us, I think, the way they report different things emphasizes fear and despair and this coming to the Lord with a heart that already feels defeated, not joyous. You know, not that we are rejoicing or know that I've lost loved ones and that sort of thing, but we are there so much that we need to glean from the Word of God that will create the environment of power that we are looking for. I remember they often would say in, maybe 50s and 60s and maybe even the 70s or 60s, that individuals on the street that were not saved, when they came to a church or even to a church person, they had this level of respect for them. They had a level of respect for the property. They would, you know, kind of stop cussing while they go fast, but after they go fast, then they would go back. But it's a level of respect. It's because there was a creative power that people believed in that area, in that church, in that community, that they released it and heaven backed it. And even the enemy backed up from it. But if you have individuals that are cussing and fussing and they're children of the living God, then you're not going to have children of the enemy giving them any respect whatsoever. So those things that we do and say create an environment that we are going to be responsible for. And so we want to create the power of our faith in the community, in our homes, in our hearts, and in our nation, in our country, in our world, that God would have us to do. So, insights, what did you get when you read this ninth chapter? God's creative power will work for you. Your lines are open to share. Okay. I do want to share today and give a shout out for my youngest grandson, Timothy Lewis Johnson, is 14 years old on this fifth day of April, and we are so grateful for him and for his life and that God gave him to us. We're really going to celebrate that young man and his niece. I think her birthday was yesterday. And so this is a celebratory week and weekend for us, and we want to share it with the world that they will be children of the living God. And happy birthday. Every faith principle.
Amen.
spiritual law that God set forth in his word was for our benefit. It was designed to put us over in life. It is not designed to hold us back, but and not to put us in bondage. So we have to remember the truth is, in so many cases, the deception of Satan has caused an incorrect application of the spiritual laws of God. And we must understand these laws. We must learn these laws. And we must live our lives according to these laws. So, faith talks. Faith, our words, I love the way I think you put it somewhere that words, faith, are boxes that carry the words, and the word will be what's in the box. So what you believe, you speak, it will come to pass, good or bad. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Man, you got
over
the...
to you.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought somebody else was talking. I remember at work some years ago, it was a Monday morning, and when they were getting off transportation coming into the building, it was our responsibility to be at the door, get the report or whatever. And one of the girls was like, oh, y'all going to have a horrible, one of the young ladies from the Scylla, was just, oh, you're going to have a horrible day with these girls. It was like a full moon. They're going to act the fool all day. And I was like, oh, come on, we'll be fine, we'll be fine. And you could tell that their moods were different than normal. I'm going to try to use better words now because I know better. And we had these crisis calls at work. And no sooner than maybe 10, 15 minutes, they made the crisis call over the announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went and we responded, and it was just like this trickle-down effect. And not even
mm-hmm.
before one crisis got managed or under control, another one was happening, and another one, then one happened outside the facility. So when we were walking back to the office, to the building, me and my coworker were talking. She was like, that girl said, no fool. And so we went at the same time. We were by a post, and at the same time, Shantae was like, we said the same time, we said we should have said something at the exact same
yeah.
time. I was like, exactly, because you know what? We could have reversed them and renounced them words that she released. But when she said it, and we will both be considered women of faith, we were walking past a light pole, electric pole, and she knocked on it because we said it at the same time, the whole knock on wood principle. So it was just like, late, when we got back to the office, something else happened, and we were sitting debriefing, and we were talking about it, and we had this thing change the narrative, which is the exact same concept of teaching the power of the tongue just in the workplace or in the marketplace, if you would. And it was just when that young lady dropped them off, she set the tone for their day, and we allowed her to speak it into our day. Into the environment that we had control over.
Yeah.
And, you know, just listening to this whole teaching. And then in June, one of the prophetic words that I got after being sick for so long, she said, you released it out your mouth, and God had to honor it because he's faithful to his word. And she said how the enemy, I didn't understand it initially when she said it, but she said how the enemy was standing there and was just like, did you hear it? Did you hear? She said it. She said it. That came out her mouth. She said it. You got to do it. You got to do it. And when you know that principle, you know, watch what you say. There's power, life, and death in your tongue. Those are very early foundational principles we were taught. But you didn't. No, not you didn't. Understanding it or seeing it in hindsight and kind of seeing it, being able to see it transpire. and how that gave power to that, and how that gave power to that, and how that word gave power to that. And you see it, it's just like, don't say anything. And it's just like, that's not it either, because we speak, we create through our tongue. We just have to be, I just have to be his word hidden in my heart. So then that which from the abundance of my heart will flow, and I will speak it out what I'm supposed to say. So thank you.
Amen. What a powerful illustration. And I'm sure that we all can think of many illustrations just like that of situations and circumstances we've been in. And it just makes the power and the truth revealed in this book an urgency about us understanding what we're saying and the fact of the power that it has, not just to create good, but to destroy evil. And so in these days, you know, we can, you know, do those things that I study and I go to church and we can do all the positive things in the world. But if we're not declaring it and decreeing it as we go forth in the world, then it'll just be not pent up, but it'll just be church building. It won't be released out into the community, which oftentimes just the way it seems, when a church is in an area, it is there for the people in that building. But even often, the people that go, that are in the neighborhood aren't there. You know, so it's like it gets pent up in there and not released, even though it's just it doesn't get released the way it should. And so even in that, we speak and say it. So then our evangelistic efforts do not have the power that the Lord has given them, because we don't believe it. You know, we do it out of a routine, but we have to do it out of a faith that is going to change something, and that, you know, we're going to wait till our change comes. There used to be a song, old people sing, and I wonder, you know, what are they talking about? But in other words, I'm going to believe till I see it happen. I'm not going to, you know, deviate from it. I am not going to lose any of the zeal and the fire of it until I see it happen, because I know that it will. So, anybody else? Wonderful illustration is here. I love it. Yes.
Money, all the books. I don't know if he mentioned it in this one, but this lady would always say, that just burns me up. And how she had begun to feel this burning, and they didn't know what it was, and she was going to the doctor because, you know, they couldn't figure out, well, what is really going on, you know, that she was feeling all this burning in her. And so he said that the doctor asked her, if I'm not mistaken, you know, what was she sort of on her mind, I guess, of what she was doing or what she was saying or something. He wanted her to change what she was saying. And she began to change what she was saying about, you know, when things would upset her about, oh, that just burns me up. When she stopped saying that, then they began to see a difference in, you know, and found out what was causing it in her. I think he has that. I'm not sure if he has it in his healing, you know, the little healing book that he has or not. And I say, wow, you know, that is really something that you have to watch what you say out of your mouth, because, you know, you may be experiencing some things that you're saying out of your mouth. You don't really realize or have recognized that you're saying it, and now it is affecting you you don't even realize that that's what's going on in your life. Mm-hmm. Like you said about, mm-hmm. you know, when he was talking about the rent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe certain times of the year, certain things
right.
happen every time around that time of the year. And I think Apostle had addressed that one time too. But just really something when you can just really look, take time to look into your life and see where these things have occurred and what maybe you have been saying that has manifested these things in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Excellent insight. Excellent insight. And I love it because when we sit and we think about, I like that song, when I think about the goodness of God, but it's even more than that. But when I think about the things, when Holy Spirit brings up thoughts, you know, and give us remembrances of things that we've said and done, and we can see how we sabotaged ourselves. We see how we sabotaged our children. And even I remember when we were praying for the church and wanted a building, and there wasn't a lot of people that were in line with the apostle. And that's sometimes our problem, our concern. When we have faith for something, if we're not surrounded by faith-filled people, then you have faith and then you have the warfare. You're going to have warfare anyway. But when you have warfare from the faith-filled people, you know, that is just such a weight on you. And to understand how much weight we have put on people that we love and are supposed to be in harmony walking with them, and yet because of the lack of our faith, it made it difficult. And we can just say, well, you know, you got faith for me. Yeah, but if your lack of faith is spoken, then it's going to create, you know, as Overseer Marley shared, they're just waiting to hear it. So that gives them, the enemy, authority to attack the faith. So we end up attacking ourselves like a cancer, you know, where your cells turn against you and then start destroying the healthy ones. And so there is just, it's done with words. Words is what accomplished this in the spirit realm. And so to understand, I remember when I was real young, I think maybe my grandma told me that, you know, you're going to have a count for every word you say. You know, that was ridiculous to me. You know, I sat as a logical person who is sitting somewhere writing down every word that I've ever said, you know, even the gaga, boo, 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 yeah. So I went through this whole thing in my mind to discredit what she said, because the enemy wanted me to, so that I would speak dumb stuff, okay? Which I did for a while, for a season. But that's the wonderful part of being a child of God. He's going to tell you when you're going right or wrong, and he's going to tell you, no, you need to stop going this way and go that way. And giving us revelation of things and secrets of the kingdom. He said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. In other words, I'm going to give you some wisdom to understand how to unlock all of your heritage that you have in Jesus Christ. And so just understanding that, a lifetime of words that we have to repent from, and, you know, with, and to release God's truth and faith over it. So if we just said scripture from now until, especially me at 75, just speaking scripture from now until, you know, to undo, you know, what I've said before, though I don't have to, because he forgives. And he said, when I ask, it shall be, and, you know, asking and repenting and understanding. But to get other people to understand when they're even in my presence, and they would prefer me not to say stuff, but it's like I have to say it. You know, and even though, you know, sometimes I don't tell God, but I don't want to say it, you know, because I ain't talking to God. He's not listening to that mess. But, my flesh doesn't want to say it, but my spirit knows the importance of it, and I must. But to release, now I'm understanding releasing these words of faith in the atmosphere is a part of spiritual warfare. And I didn't see it that way. You know, you got to pray and you know, travail and, you know, do the oil and do the water. And, you know, words are spiritual warfare. And they will bring victory. Because my faith words by the resources of heaven and the commitment that God has made. So, anybody else? All right, so I pray that you enjoy this fifth day of April, which is Timothy's birthday. And I'm not sure what this is, first Sunday. So we want to worship the Lord. We do have information of the movie day at Labor. It will be April 20th at 1 o'clock. That's a Saturday. There should be refreshments there available. There's something for the children as well. So it would go from 1 o'clock to bare minimum 3 because the movie is about a two-hour movie. But and then there'll be discussion and all kinds of conversation and activities will be available to all. We are encouraging you to invite your neighbors, your friends, your family. Make this evangelistic event in that it will help people to see the Word of God a lot more clearly and to understand the season that we're in, the times that we are in. And it will bring a powerful hope as well as a spiritual fire into the hearts of those that have a love for God and God's people. And so I do encourage everyone to become a part of the Ark and the Darkness movie day at Labors for Christ Word Life Center on April 20th at 1 o'clock. Amen and amen. Tickets are $12 for adults, $10 for children, and that's children 12 to 16. And younger they have stuff that's available to them as well. So we look forward to seeing you tomorrow and coming to you again on next Friday. Closing out the book. Okay.
When is the money due?
We will start selling tickets on. We will sell. You will be given a link, and you will go on the link and click it and purchase a ticket. Have you ever purchased tickets from the theater before you got to the theater?
No.
You can just. We're collecting money starting Sunday. Yeah. So. And then you'll be, purchase it, give it to you. I pray that, you know, you think of a neighbor and tell them you got them a ticket. You know, I it'll be a wonderful fellowship. We do want some hostesses you know, people to welcome the people when they come in, particularly those that are coming in from the community, so that they will feel comfortable in the environment and welcome. So, yeah. So call me. Amen. Thank you. Okay. Obviously cannot be Zoomed. So you have to be there. Well, that is all I have for today. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.